Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is my Forbes colleague, staff writer Zach Everson. Zach, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Brittany.
Former President Donald Trump is facing some big financial hurdles, as you have reported on before, after some legal setbacks. Can you talk about first how we got here?
Sure. So Donald Trump inherited a little bit of money from his dad, invested it, bought a bunch of real estate, became president, committed a whole bunch of allegedly committed a bunch of crimes, and here we are. Specifically, what the deal is this time is he's was found guilty in a New York civil fraud case, and he has to put up more than, I think at this point it's $457 million in fines and interest, and he does not have that much cash liquid available. So needs to figure out how to go ahead and pay that fine, assuming it does not get knocked down by a appeals court in the meantime.
How can he afford this? Because Forbes does a real-time billionaires tracker, and according to that, he is worth $2.6 billion estimated. So how can he not afford about half a billion?
It's not all liquid cash. And, you know, we were in an article yesterday. He actually would have been better for all of his perceived financial acumen. He would have been better off if he had just taken this money and invested it in the stock market when he inherited it from his dad, as opposed to all of his real estate dealings. But he did choose the real estate dealings. It is such a lot of his money is tied up. I believe that our latest count is he has about $400 million. That's liquid cash. And that, of course, doesn't mean he could just write a check for the $400 million and then figure out what to do with the other $57 million. You know, some of that money he needs, you know, you need to maintain a certain amount of cash around to handle a business like that. So, you know, he's got to look at some options for how to come up with this cash.
You're reporting for Forbes one Trump asset most likely to go bankrupt. Which one is it?
It is 40 Wall Street, which is a building down in Lower Manhattan.
I want to read a line from your reporting because I think it paints an interesting picture. You wrote this, quote, "The building looks glamorous, ascending 63 stories above the financial district with a copper crown on top, but its finances are not pretty." So talk to us about the finances of 40 Wall Street.
Why is it every time somebody singles out a line from one of my articles, it's the one the editor put in? But yes, kudos to Dan Alexander for that one. Yeah, it's not sitting pretty because it is about to see a rent escalation, and it does not look like it brings in enough money for that to be worth it. So the issue here is that Trump doesn't actually own the ground lease. It is owned by a German shipping family, and he pays rent for it, and he manages the building that's on top of that ground. So right now that rent is about $2.5 million a year, but it is going to spike to an estimated about $16 million around 2033. And it does not look like the building is going to be bringing in enough cash to make that worth it. And then in the meantime, he also has his mortgage on the building coming due in 2025, and that is for $120 million. So he's going to need to figure out how to, you know, deal with that mortgage, either pay it off or find somebody to refinance it.
Let's talk about the options a bit. I'm going to read you another line from your reporting. Maybe it's yours. If not, shout out to Dan Alexander. But here, let's see what we have. Quote, "The issues at 40 Wall Street, a treacherous ground lease and an unforgiving office market are fundamentally business problems and not ones that Trump can easily fix." Is this you?
I don't think so.
Well, once again, shout out to Dan Alexander.
I think that like a combination. I think that one got workshopped. I think I could put my fingerprints in there a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, good. A tag team effort by both astounding reporters here at Forbes. But what are the solutions here? How can Trump fix this? Because you're saying it's not an easy fix.
No, it's not an easy fix. You know, it could have been an easy fix if he wasn't on the hook for all this other money right now due to those lawsuits. But he is, most likely, depending on how the appeal goes through. The easiest solution for him would be if the landlords were willing to renegotiate the lease with him, would be one of the best ways for him to be able to handle this a little bit better. You know, if he could find a way to refinance the hotel, to refinance the building, and then get the current leaseholders to, you know, renegotiate so the deal is not as one-sided, and that it actually, he would still be able to run that building at a profit.
In your reporting, you said that the building generates around $15 million a year. How much is this building worth?
It's worth, you know, after debt, it is worth about $47 million to Donald Trump, which, you know, a sizable amount of money, although it is down from $80 million, which is what we valued it at last year. Obviously, the poor market conditions and the looming ground rent escalation are the two big issues there. And in terms of market conditions, I mean, it has just seen its occupancy rate go down big time, you know, just the same as anybody else post-pandemic. In 2015, it was at 97.8%. 2022, it was 82.9%. And then in September of last year, it was down to 76.6%. So it is really struggled to maintain a high occupancy rate there, which is not uncommon.
Obviously, as we all know, post-pandemic office buildings haven't had the best of markets. Is this the building, or is this one of Trump's real estate properties with the worst financial issues?
You know, it's a combination. It's certainly not being helped by the market, but you know, at the same point, it was Donald Trump who signed that lease, and agreed to what that rent spike could be. And you know, it was always going to be a significant rent spike, in when come 2033. So that is something that he agreed to as well. And he was also the one who took out the $120 million loan for it.
New York Attorney General Letitia James did say this: "We are prepared to make sure that the judgment is paid to New Yorkers. And yes, I look at 40 Wall Street each and every day." Since this building is facing financial strife, would it be seized?
I mean, it could be. I don't think it's necessarily the smartest move for them to take this one, at least first. It would be difficult to sell, difficult to unload on behalf of the New York taxpayers. It's going to be, you know, given what we just said about the real estate market, you're not going to find a lot of people who are super interested in picking up a lease for a, you know, that would need to be renegotiated because then, you know, you'd imagine whoever picks up the lease is still going to face some of those same problems the existing lease owner has, and to come in and take that. And you know, she's going to be looking to get rid of this quickly. I don't think the New York Attorney General's office cares to be managing this building for a while. So, you know, it would be something they'd want to unload. And in that case, I don't think you'd necessarily find a great deal on it. You'd be better off going for some of his residential properties.
Has Trump tipped his hand either way in what he's going to do with this property? What's going to happen to 40 Wall Street?
No, you know, there's been reports out there that they've talked about bankruptcy. There've been reports out there that they haven't talked about bankruptcy. I don't know. You know, we'll see if we see it if he files anything. You know, it's just our belief that this would certainly be, you know, one of his smarter moves if he's going to put anything in bankruptcy would be to put this one in bankruptcy because it's struggling in the first place.
Zach Everson, per usual, thank you so much for your reporting. I'm sure I will be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Brittany. Appreciate it.